I'm Celeste Headlee. This is On Second Thought. Art museums have long struggled to attract non-white visitors, but the High Museum in Atlanta may have solved that problem. In the last couple of years, the museum's non-white audience has tripled. Rand Suffolk is the museum's director. Good morning and congratulations. These are enviable numbers.
We're excited about our progress. Thank you. Good morning.
And also with us is Mariette Westerman. She's the executive vice president of the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation. The foundation follows demographics at art museums. Hi, Mariette.
Hi there. Great to be with you.
Mariette, let's start with you just so I can ask why it's important to the foundation to track the diversity of museums' visitors.
Well, if you believe that, as we do, art is a great resource for human flourishing and for a democratic society, it's very important that access to art in our great museums is available to all and to the maximum number of people. And so if you find out through tracking visitors that disproportionate numbers of people from particular communities, ethnic communities, racial communities, religious communities are not being served by museums, that's a real concern for the museum's viability and for their fulfilling their mission.
Over the weekend, we met with Shirley Zhu. She's of Alpharetta. She was at the High Museum. She's originally from China. And she was talking about an exhibit that featured Chinese art a while back, and it really resonated with her.
It makes me like feel proud. Also, kind of feel good to let people here to know, to understand the Chinese culture. So I hope there was more and more diversity here. I mean, then maybe next time when they see people in face, maybe make them feel easier to talk to each other, to integrate it and to communicate with each other.
So, Rand, you guys, as I understand it, now have 45% non-white visitors. Is that accurate?
Right. Until about 2015, traditionally, we averaged about 15% minority participation at the museum.
Which is comparable to other museums in cities.
I think the national average, the most recent data I saw, was about 9% across the United States. So you could say that that's pretty good. But if you live in a city like in Atlanta, that's bordering on unconscionable. At least that's our perspective. And so we've been working our tails off over the last 2 years to really change ourselves, not necessarily change our audience, but change ourselves as an organization to become a more compelling opportunity for people to engage with. And last year, we actually, as you said, we tripled that. It's now 45%. And this year, to date, halfway through the year, is actually at 48%.
Wow, which is kind of echoing the demographics of the city around you, which I assume is the aim?
That's exactly correct. We want to reflect the audience that we serve to the extent we can.
So let's hear from another visitor at the High. Raymond Edwards was also there this weekend, and he says he really enjoyed the exhibit on sneakers because they're such a big part of the African-American community here.
That they were able to broaden their horizon and to kind of tap into that sneaker culture, which, you know, blacks are really a big fan of. I thought it was fascinating. And bringing us here into the High Museum, it allows us to, you know, just get a different perspective and to kind of see ourselves in such a prestigious, you know, institutions like the High Museum.
Mariette, museums have long done exhibits of African-American artists. Is it often the art itself done by an African-American artist, or is it the art that shows people of color in it, of whatever color they may be? What's sort of the key?
I would say it is both, Celeste. One important factor is that when people go to museums, it's a little bit like reading or going to the movies. On the one hand, a museum or a movie can open up a window onto the world for you. And those are often other worlds and other people, and you're probably going to be somewhat interested in them. But if you don't also see yourself mirrored in the institution or the book or the movie or the art, you may not have even an interest in opening that window.
So, Rand, the leadership of the High is still mostly white. The board of the High is still mostly white. And oftentimes when you talk about diversifying an institution, they say look to the leadership first. How much of a challenge is that for you?
Well, I think we're a work in progress there. What I can tell you is that I think we've been trying very hard to look at this as a long-term process for ourselves. And so we've first, as I said, focused on how do we diversify the people coming to the museum? How do we begin to make sense for those individuals? And once we've started to get that, we're pretty excited there. We can sort of change our emphasis and say, okay, well, the people coming through our doors reflects the audience that we serve, but does our membership look like that? Okay, well, now we need to spend the next 18 months really focusing, 2 years focusing on changing the, what our membership looks like. And at the same time, you start to look then at your board and you say, okay, does the board, our membership reflects the audience that we serve, the people coming through the door, does our board look like that? Does our staff look like that? And, you know, one of the great phrases I've heard before is sort of relentless incrementalism. I mean, this is an ongoing project. And so to the extent that we're going to make a difference, it's about making a series of gestures, a series of decisions along the way and staying committed to that and being very intentional about how we try and shift the demographics top to bottom at the organization. I can tell you that from a staff standpoint as well as from a board standpoint, we're very sensitive to that. We're very excited that our efforts are starting to gain traction, and I think we'll continue to make progress moving forward.
Let's hear from yet another visitor to The High. In 2015, The High featured an exhibit of photographs from the photographer Gordon Parks, an African-American who documented life during the Jim Crow years of the South. And this is Chris Durellis, who lives in Atlanta.
That's the last time I was here, so I came out to see that. Just seeing people that look like us doing other things definitely is inspirational. Growing up, I feel like African Americans are placed in the box. We see a lot of, athletes and entertainers. So just seeing that, we could do art and other things, it's inspiring and shows that we could reach for more.
So, Mariette, how does this argument go when perhaps the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation is speaking to museums and urging them to make these kinds of changes? Is it usually an economic argument in terms of getting more ticket sales?
Well, you have to believe in the mission of museums and of bringing art to as many people as possible as a good thing to start. So if you don't have that commitment, you probably won't get to the economic argument. But yes, there is an economic argument for the long term to be made. As Rand has said, this is a long-term proposition and you have to stay on it. If you look at the demographics of American society, the census projections are that by 2050, there will not be a single ethnic or racial or any other kind of majority, except perhaps women, in the United States. And so if you want to have those the full community of the American society come to your museums, and that's essential to your economic viability long term, whether it's ticket sales or people spending money in your cafes or restaurants, or in fact becoming philanthropically supportive of your enterprise.
And you guys also got rid of audio guides, which is a staple of museums. Why?
Well, we look at diversity and inclusivity from a number of different perspectives, not only based on ethnicity. And so one of the things that we're, is again, a series of gestures. How do we default towards just trying to do the right thing to engage our audience? One of the things we decided to do was that we noticed that our numbers of people actually using those audio guides was diminishing over time. It just didn't seem to make sense for us. So we said, well, what if we took those dollars and put them towards some other things that would be more generative? And so one of the decisions we made was that we would dedicate ourselves to having an ASL interpreter at every single public program that we do. Again, it's not that we can be all things to all people, but how do we send a signal continuously that we're thinking about our audience and trying to not just create one gateway, but multiple gateways for them to connect with their museum?
So, Mariette, I actually had a conversation with an art director who I will allow to remain anonymous, who said there's always this pull, right? Because you have a responsibility to educate the public about past masters and make sure that they are seeing art by Van Gogh and many of the other great masters through history. And then you also have this pull to introduce them to new audiences, and sometimes you don't really get as much time as you would want to consider diversity. Is there kind of a working calculation on how museums should make those determinations?
I think the statement you just paraphrased is a characteristic of an attitude that has long prevailed among museum leaderships and probably boards. Rand and several other museum directors around the country consider themselves chief diversity officers, by which they don't mean that they're the only ones waking up every day thinking about diversity and inclusion, but they do take it into account into all their decision-making, program decisions, and so forth. So I think as long as museum directors think that diversity is this other thing they have to think about rather than something that's fundamental to being a museum in America today, it's going to be very hard to make progress.
And I would just, I think that's, it's important to understand that you know, I don't think that the goals and objectives of the colleague that you just quoted are mutually exclusive from creating an inclusive audience. I mean, I think there's always some balance that you're trying to navigate. I mean, that's one of the great exciting and compelling things about being a general fine arts museum is that as long as we're focused on our mission and quality, we can do pretty much whatever the heck we want to in terms of, you know, engaging people with different perspectives, different artists' work and so forth. And that's truly the exciting work. And it's not just about using those materials, I think, to communicate to an audience, but using those materials to communicate with your audience writ large. I mean, because sharing those multiple perspectives, we want to be a place where all of Atlanta is comfortable coming together. And we want to be a place where all of those people can come and learn from each other and, you know, have a shared experience about the thoughts or the perspectives, the artists and their voices that are presented in our exhibitions.
So I imagine you're taking calls from other museums who are trying to figure out how you did it and how they can duplicate it?
We've gotten great response from colleagues around the country to a recent article that was put out about our efforts and so forth. But look, I think across the board, there are art museums around the country that are all very sensitive to this and are very focused on how do we do the right thing when it comes to diversify our audience. And it's going to be different wherever you are. What counts and what we consider to be diversity here is going to be very different than what you might think of in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or in Portland, Maine, and so forth. And so I think we're all working very hard to try and become a different kind of resource within our communities.
That is Rand Suffolk. He's the director of Atlanta's High Museum of Art. And we also heard from Mariette Westerman, the executive vice president of the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Pleasure to be here.